You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club.
Greetings, explorers. I'm one of your hosts, Dennis, joined by
Johnny.
And today we are discussing Batman: Three Jokers by writer Jeff Johns and artist Jason Fabok. We always put your name, so I apologize. We hope that you have read today's title because both of us have read the book. So beware, spoilers ahead. Explorers can share their opinions and thoughts with us by leaving a comment on our Facebook page or over on our Twitter and Instagram at GNExplorersClub. Graphic Novel Explorers Club is available wherever fine podcasts are found, including YouTube.
Today, our book is Batman Three Jokers, which was published in 2020. At the time that we were recording this, it is 2020. This has only been out for a couple months, right?
Yeah, this is actually kind of a shocker. We are covering a fairly recent book. Normally, we cover a book that's either fairly old, really old, maybe at most. The most recent one I think we ever covered was maybe like a 2-year-old or 3-year-old book. So this is like current.
Yeah, most of our more current books are indie books. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, most of the Capes and Cows we cover are years and years old. So that's a good point. I never thought about that, Dennis. it was written by Jeff Johns and art by Jason Fabok or Fabok. I don't know. Sounds like 22. A Star Trek name. Fabok, the
Commander Fabok. Yeah, phasers.
Now Fabok sounds more a Vulcan to me.
Oh,
you know, he'd be very logical.
That's true. Like Savik or something. Yeah,
Savik, Spock. Yeah. Very, very Star Trekian. So for those who don't know, Jeff Johns has been heavily involved with DC for the past, 20 years?
Oh, yeah.
He's written the Green Lantern and Rage of the Red Lanterns, Green Lantern Blackest Night. He created the Stargirl character or co-created it. No, I think he created the TV series Stargirl, co-created the Flash TV series, and then he's co-written the stories for Aquaman and Wonder Woman 1984. And you said he did Flashpoint, right?
He did the Flashpoint comic book. He got a lot of his fame from the Green Lantern books. I think he's co-produced a lot of the films, including Justice League and Batman v Superman. So, yeah, he's big time. He just recently left DC, in fact, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to form his own independent comic book
label. He's not
going to
join Image?
Maybe it was. I forget. I don't always keep up on that news.
I wonder if he's trying to get a deal. Like, who's the guy that wrote Kick-Ass? Like, I wonder if he's trying to get one of those
right.
deals. And then Jason Fabok was the regular artist for DC's New 52, and he's also worked on a number of DC books. Right up front, I really enjoyed his art in this
phenomenal.
Book. Yeah, it was great. The best part of this. Of the three Jokers is
well,
the art.
You know, and this story has been a long time coming. So around 2016, Jeff Johns was, I think, the writer in Justice League. And at the very tail end, the kind of like little post-credit scene, so to speak, part of the book involved Batman, who had sat in Metron's chair, the Mobius chair, and had asked the chair, which is all-knowing, what was the secret identity of the Joker? And then he came to reveal to Hal Jordan that, in fact, the Mobius chair didn't give him one name. It told him that there were, in fact, three Jokers. And so that was a dun-dun-dun. And his bat screen showed, like, three different Jokers from three different eras of the Batman. You know, like the classic Silver Age Joker, the Death in the Family Joker, and the more recent one. And so that was, a big thing and a big question.
And it took this long for him to sort of get the story out, huh?
So there's been a lot of problems getting the story out. There's been a lot of false starts, and they've reorganized like their stories and the writers and everything like that. And so it took a while for it to finally come out. And honestly, the fact that it's come out, we didn't mention this, but it came out on the DC Black Label, which is traditionally, it's not really, I would say, their Elseworlds label, but it is their mature label. And is it not necessarily canon stories?
Yeah, this story mm-hmm. does not strike me as being canon.
Right. And so in the beginning, it was supposed to be completely canon and fully integrated because it was hinted in a canon book. But because of a variety of story changes and how the stories have evolved and this thing kept getting delayed, eventually it just became put out on its own thing. So that's why It was put on the Black Label, I believe. Also, if you look at the artwork, the look for Batgirl, the look for Batman, they don't exactly line up with how things are right now in universe. A spoiler, Alfred is dead currently in the DC universe, and so he's currently alive. So this is kind of in this book. And so it's kind of a weird Elseworlds book, but it sort of ties into, well, big time, honestly, The Killing Joke, which is, was that our first book?
No, yeah, that was our very first episode. Mm-hmm. And it also wraps, it seems very entwined with Alan Moore's stories.
Mm-hmm. And then definitely The Killing Joke and what was the other one? Death in the Family. Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, and for the listeners, we are still recording this remotely at the time that we're recording this episode. It's still during the quarantine from the COVID-19 pandemic. So if you hear any noise issues, that's the reason why we're not in studio. We're still recording this remotely. And also Frankie, we're still trying to figure out how to get Frankie in the episode in this season, because Frankie, I would say, somewhat of a Luddite when it comes to technology. We've tried to work it out to get her on, but we're still trying to crack the nut on that one. So the story, to give a brief recap, is Batman, Batgirl, and Red Hood investigating a trio of murders that all take place at the same time on the same night. And the twist is that all three murders were committed by the Joker. During the investigation, Batman comes to the logical conclusion that there are three Jokers at work in Gotham, as Barbara Gordon and Jason Todd help Batman track down the three Jokers. Their trio is sort of forced to deal in some ways with a lot of the trauma that they suffered at the hands of the Joker. I would say, short of the civilians that have been, you know, had to deal with the Joker, just the rest of Gotham, I feel like those are the two main characters that suffered the most trauma.
For sure.
Jason Todd died at the time. Beaten to death and died. Barbara Gordon was sexually assaulted and shot and disabled. Yeah, mm-hmm. Paralyzed. How did that get retconned?
The events of The Killing Joke still happen in canon, in a sense, where she was paralyzed, but eventually she got healed. I forgot exactly how, but it wasn't just waved away. She actually just somehow recovered.
Which is, yeah, in this book, it shows that she's gone through a lot of physical therapy. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't put into the Lazarus pit or something like that.
No, not at all.
Just from the ribs down.
Right. Just dipped in a little bit.
Like a strawberry, you put in chocolate. But yeah, to continue, the Joker has more at play than just bringing up their past. For someone who's written so many stories, the story didn't feel, I don't know what the right word is here. It didn't feel tight.
I would argue that I enjoyed the story. I agree where you're going, but it definitely didn't pay off what I thought it was going to pay off. Because in the end, you know, we go through, we find out there are in fact three Jokers. One is nicknamed the Criminal, one is nicknamed the Comedian, and one is nicknamed the Clown. Apparently, this is what the Joker does. We're not really clear who is the quote unquote real Joker, but their intention is to create more Jokers to basically harass Batman. And it doesn't really feel like it pays off. Like the Joker's origin has always been ambiguous, which is really surprising if you think about it. All the history of Batman, we've always gotten different origin stories for a variety. Well, through the history of DC Comics, different characters, and we're pretty clear, even for the Criminals, you know, what their origin is. But the Joker has always been, much like in The Dark Knight, the movie, his origin has always been ever-changing, whether it's on purpose by him or for whatever reason, his origin has always fluctuated. And I guess that lends a little bit of mystery and in regards to the character that's constantly following him. But it definitely does. I don't feel like it paid off. Like, I feel like we were supposed to understand why there were three Jokers, what was going on, who created who, why did they have to keep creating them? Like, in the end, honestly, his reasoning for creating a better Joker, which is what they want to do, didn't make sense to me. Like, why are you trying to create a better Joker? Like,
through Jason Todd. He winds up, there's a lot of flashbacks in this. So if you haven't read The Killing Joke and A Death in the Family, you should definitely go back and read those, because even the art in this is influenced by iconic imagery from those different comic books. In fact, the end of the comic book kind of won't make sense unless you've read The Killing Joke. You know, and we won't spoil the plot twist at the end. I don't think it's worth. I think it would do a disservice to anybody if we spoiled that in this. And we can talk about the episode without it, without even having to touch on the ending of this book. But you should definitely have read The Killing Joke before you read this. Like, the thing with him creating other Jokers as some sort of proxies or experiments didn't make a lot of Joker sense to me. Like, why would if the Joker's whole thing is he's the yin to Batman's yang, and they have to, I mean, like, what if one of the other Jokers had ever succeeded in killing Batman or you know, by killing Jason Todd, inflicted a ton of pain on Batman that rippled through the comic books for years. In fact, anytime there's a new Robin, it's always under the shadow of, well, Jason Todd died. Is this Robin going to suffer the same fate? And it's like, well, wouldn't the real Joker, if he was going to do that kind of damage, like, if he wasn't the Joker that did that,
you feel jealous, right?
Yeah. And that's, you know, like, anytime this has been established in comic books, the cartoon series, even in the Dark Knight movies, it's like, if someone's really going to get Batman, Joker's always the one that's like, no, it's going to be me.
No, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, and there have been times in the comics where the Joker has actually teamed up with Batman because he wants to be the one who inflicts the pain upon Batman. And he wants to be the one, he doesn't want another dimensional bad guy, even if it's another Joker, to be the one. He wants to be the one who actually does it. So he'll team up with Batman. So you're exactly right. It seems weird. Like, their whole goal is they want to make it more personal for Batman. Make it so that it really digs in that this Joker is personally connected to Batman. But it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why? Why does it have to be? I mean, it made sense in the book, The Killing Joke, when he talked about, you know, we're connected, you can't kill me kind of thing. And, you know, we're just going to be doing this forever.
And even like the Dark Knight Returns, when, spoiler, if you haven't read that book, when Batman finally almost mortally wounds Joker, and Joker's finally like they're like lovers. They're in the tunnel of love. The Joker shanks Batman with the shiv, or he's not actually, I don't think. Yeah, no, he is dressed as Batman. That's right. He's out as Batman. When he shivs him a bunch of times, it's like two lovers killing each other. It's not. Right.
It's very intimate. Like,
yeah. And, you know, and then Joker, as the final joke, breaks his own neck. It's like, that's, so for him to like turn any of these things that he's done with the possibility it could have been another Joker, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. And then they're actually, it's not clear how they become like with the same mentality and goals as a Joker. I mean, it's one thing to transform someone so they have the same powers, so to speak, the same look, maybe are crazy, but for them to be motivated and to work together, like, I found it hard to believe that the three of the Jokers actually worked together more or less, you know, well, like, they weren't arguing a whole lot. Yeah. And it seemed like the criminal was the mastermind. He was the most calculating, maybe the older one, but it seemed like they were willing to work together. And yeah, like you said, it seemed odd because the real Joker would want to take credit, which, you know, maybe in the end it sort of paid off. I don't know.
Another thing that like didn't make, it was like a weird, like, well, why are you getting upset at this, but you're not getting upset at that? Is Jason Todd as the Red Hood is shooting henchmen left and right. I'm assuming he's shooting them non-fatally, but when you shoot someone, it doesn't.
Well, the Red Hood is fully he doesn't care.
Yeah, but there's different times when Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, gets upset that when, spoiler, Jason winds up killing one of the Jokers, shoots him through the head, and basically he's being tortured in the same way that he was and dies in the Death in the Family. And he winds up, the Joker, this Joker, this version of the Joker, if it's not the real Joker, taunts him into the point where Jason Todd, Red Hood, shoots him in the head, shoots this Joker in the head. And Barbara gets so upset at that. I'm just like, he's been fucking shooting people left and right throughout this entire comic book. Right. Like, why is this one that
suddenly
is the one that you're
criminal.
Like, yeah, no, don't. It's this isn't you only shoot and harm henchmen.
Right. Well, and so speaking of that particular scene, I really did enjoy that. That's one of the stronger points where I liked when the Joker was getting into Jason Todd's head. And it really did make a lot of sense to me, like how messed up Jason Todd is. I mean, he actually, his whole superhero identity is the Joker's former criminal identity, the Red Hood.
Yeah.
And so he's adopted it for himself. And when
Joker brings up in that,
yeah,
in that scene, like he brings that up, like, why are you wearing my costume?
And I loved, and this has been explored in a couple different mediums, if I remember correctly, but I loved that it revealed that Jason Todd actually broke, that he didn't just stand up and, you know, was this the hero? He actually broke and said that, you know, I'll be your Robin. And Joker was using that against him, because it really shows, like, you know, the Joker was able to finally get through and humiliate him. But then once he gave up, then he actually killed him.
Yeah. And then another time they're in an aquarium.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like the Monterey Bay Aquarium is this big aquarium. It is full. The tanks are where the fish live are full of Joker toxin. And he creates a Joker shower, which I thought was kind of neat. And some, I don't know if they were Joker piranha or just regular fish that got Jokerized. That's another scene where Jason Todd / Red Hood shoots the glass and, like, basically allows the shark,
right,
to eat Joker's henchman named Gaggy, who, I guess, have you heard of Gaggy before?
No, I don't recall.
So I did a little research on Gaggy, because I was like, Gaggy is such a weird name. And I was like, this seems like a Mixoplex era, you know, Batmite era character.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up Gaggy, and apparently he was the Joker's main sidekick through, I think, the Silver Age before Harley Quinn. And his real name, the character's real name, is Gagsworth A. Gagsworthy. Like, that's not so fucking hokey. Like, how
that's
did that
definitely
pass?
Silver Age.
Yeah, that's, well, like, how did that get past the editorial? Yeah, we need some name for this for this henchman. But yeah, that's got to be one of the dumbest names in all comics.
Speaking to that, the comic is pretty tight in terms of characters. I mean, it really does focus on the Joker, the trio of the Bat Family. You know, sometimes Commissioner Gordon and Bullock show up, but it's pretty tight. You don't get a whole bunch of, like, yeah, Harley Quinn never shows up. None of the other Bat Family members show up.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty tight in terms of the characters that they use. I mean, it's only three issues.
And we read the combined.
Collected.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of the word. As many comic books as we read and review, you would remember collection. But yeah, anyways, getting back to Gaggy and that whole scene, it's like, no one's upset that this shark just devoured this little person in front of everyone. And the fact that he basically killed all of I guess the Joker did, really, but Jason Todd basically just destroyed this aquarium.
Right. Well, and then, yeah, it's interesting that Jason finally does what Batman never wants to do, which is kill the Joker. Well, a Joker. And that's brought up where, you know, how many times do you have to, you know, allow this madman to basically let loose until you do something about it?
So one of the things I wanted to bring up, too, was when they catch up to this one Joker that Jason Todd eventually shoots in the head, kills, Batman contacts Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they have, like, a special unit that's designed just for picking up supervillains. And so they're dispatching this team to go pick up this version of the Joker. We don't know if it's the real one or a copy, but they find out that the Joker is active at another location. So Batman decides he's going to go leave Batgirl and Red Hood to watch this Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this seemed like a scenario where Batman's not dumb. He had to know how this was going to play out, where the Joker winds up taunting Jason into killing him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost struck me as like the logic problem of like the grain, the chicken, and the fox puzzle.
Right.
You know, where it's like, well, okay, I've got two people here. One that's emotionally vulnerable and wants to kill this Joker. A Joker who's going to taunt him into killing him or doing something. And mm-hmm. then Barbara Gordon, who has done the work, I guess, to restore her body and her, you know, her mentality to like
right.
stay a healthy person, even though she's a vigilante. I don't know. I just thought, I was like, Batman had to know how that was going to work out.
You would think, but I don't know. I mean, it surprised me. I mean, there's been plenty of times where the Red Hood has faced the Joker and he hasn't killed him for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And so this version of the Red Hood just happened to crack. And yeah, this particular version of the Joker really got under his skin. Like, I've never heard him really kind of have this one-on-one time. Usually they're just spouting stuff off. There's a rare time where he actually really brings up the moment where he's beating him and kind of makes him kind of relive that trauma, which says something about reliving and being triggered with trauma. You know, you can think you're over it, but if you don't have the proper therapy like Barbara probably had and just kind of repress it like Jason did, that even though both of you are functional, really the method that Jason chose, which was suppressing it, can easily be unearthed if properly triggered. Whereas Barbara has the tools where if the Joker were to pull the same thing, she's probably more mentally strong and emotionally strong to actually handle it, even though both of them are functional on an everyday basis.
Mm. You know what the more we've been talking about this, the more it's like making things fire off in my head about this story is like, so does that mean like each, if they're, so Jeff Johns, thank you. Is his theory, I guess, or what they're positing in the story is all these things that have been done by different Jokers,
right.
I guess. It's like, this feels like almost a betrayal to the character on the par of like Metal Gear 5 and how Big Boss wasn't Big Boss, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
No, I would agree. In the end, I didn't feel like this was completely necessary at all. It didn't pay off.
It feels like fan fiction. I know we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but it feels like highfalutin fan fiction to me.
Whatever his plan was before when he wrote those scenes in the Justice League, I just don't feel like it paid off for whatever reason. And, you know, even creating this as a separate universe so you're not tied to canon, it just, yeah, I would agree. Overall, I felt like I liked the story enough that, you know, it's entertaining. Obviously, the artwork is amazing.
Exceptional. Amazing artwork.
Yeah, I would read it over again and again just to take in the artwork. But the story doesn't really go anywhere, to be perfectly honest. It's a good analysis of how the different characters deal with the trauma of the Joker in their past. But in
that
the
part
end,
was definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, how Barbara took a healthy route mm-hmm. and Jason Todd did not. And he's basically a proud boy. No, I'm just kidding. He's not really a proud boy, but you know, he's a toxic guy.
Well, and I still, even if the Joker succeeded where he was trying to convert Jason Todd, I don't see how that would have made a better Joker. They kept saying they were trying to make a better Joker. How would that make a better Joker? Because he's more personally tied to Batman. I mean, just because he happens to be part of the Bat family doesn't make it any more.
You know who did this scenario well was the Batman Beyond movie, Return of the Joker, where Joker basically was screwing over Tim Drake, I think it was, you know, and hid his identity in him. So he didn't know he was the Joker, you know, until it was too late. He didn't realize what was going on.
Which really was very similar because they didn't have a Jason Todd in that series But in the movie, they torture him to basically become a little Joker henchman. So yeah. I mean, he's analogous to Jason Todd in this sense. And you're right. The Return of the Joker did it, I felt, a lot better. And once again, still, it doesn't make that version of the Joker any better just because it used to be a Robin's body that he's using. It's just, you know,
it twists the knife a little bit, I think, because you realize like, oh, you know, he got back at Batman through this way.
Right.
But really it was more about him wanting to continue on as the Joker.
Right.
His, you know, his own ego. But all right. So kind of a mixed review. Yeah, would you recommend reading it?
I highly recommend it because, one, like we said, the art is amazing. I think it's some of the best Batman art I've seen in a long time. And it's an interesting analysis of the three characters, mainly Jason Todd and Barbara Gordon. But in terms of like, is it a great Batman story? I don't know. It feels like it's trying to connect The Killing Joke and Death in the Family in a meaningful way, and I don't feel like it pays off.
Yeah, it didn't stick the landing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I would say read it. I don't know if it's worth purchasing. Maybe see if your local library has it, or if you can get it in a bargain bin, someone brings it back to their comic book store. But I don't feel there's major flaws in this.
And it came in an odd time. I'll say outside of this story, in DC right now, the Joker War just wrapped up. And so in that story, the Joker tries to ruin Batman's life. And this kind of just felt like a different angle of it. So it's just like, well, you know, how many times is the Joker trying to ruin Batman's life, you know, in different ways? It felt like a Me Too kind of thing. Not Me Too, the movement, just Me Also kind of thing.
Yeah, cool. Well, where can people follow the podcast there, Dennis?
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
See you later.